Hello, my name's Ned Rock, and welcome to the Exiled Eagles National Meetup Special. Much like the Palace side that's just left our shores, we've decided not to go with a first-choice host. However, much like the Palace side that has just toured Australia, hopefully that won't deter the fans from turning up in the huge numbers that we saw in both Perth and Melbourne for what was a fantastic week of everything red and blue. As well as this, we were able to get some fantastic access that perhaps Exiled Eagles were not qualified for, were not prepared for, but we've given it our best damn shot. Later on, we'll hear from Tony, who caught up with Chris Grierson at the open training session. Mark Werner, who caught up with pretty much everybody that you can imagine, but most notably Scott Banks. For a bit of a chat for the podcast. Both of those will be coming up just a little bit later, as well as a very detailed description on the most exciting event of the weekend, where Mark was finally able to hand the little Aussie Butler Award trophy over to the one and only Joel Ward. However, it's important to start at the beginning when trying to unwrap a week like this. And before the Melbourne game against Manchester United, the weekend before, we had a number of events in the lead-up as fans started to arrive. And I was able to be there at the Exford Hotel on Saturday night to catch up with a few of them, starting off with a trio who had driven down from Sydney in a car wrapped in Crystal Palace colours, raising money for a very good cause.
So here at the Exford Hotel with Gav, John and Andrew, who have driven down from Sydney with a fully wrapped car for Palace for raising money for a charity called Gotcha for Life. Guys, welcome to Melbourne, and tell us a little bit about the charity and your trip down.
Gotcha for Life is a charity that was started by Gus Wallen, who's famous for a number of things, but also being Hugh Jackman's best mate. And basically the charity's goal is to have, aim is to have zero suicide. So they do a lot of suicide prevention programs, talk to a lot of people in terms of options for those who are struggling and to look out for those who might have signs of at risk for suicide. So it's a really worthwhile cause. I think we've all known somebody or know somebody who's been touched by suicide, so it's a really good cause, and we're glad that they came on board, and we're glad we raised some money for them.
Awesome. It seems like a really good sort of thing. I mean, I've only just met you. It's fantastic. You know, I think you guys have been in touch with Jimmy from Sydney, who's here, but it's just a case of, so could you just talk a little bit about, you know, like what you've done in terms of like something. I talked a little bit about the wrapped car, but I it's the first I've heard of it. So just in terms of, you know, what have you done in terms of like how it's worked out?
How it sort of came together was Gavin and I, we've known each other, our kids go to school together, so we met in kindergarten some 4 years ago. So we're sitting down and thought, you know what, Man U, Crystal Palace in Melbourne, we had to be there. And so we thought, how do we sort of make a bit of a, not only just come down for the game, but, you know, sort of make a bit of an event out of it. So we thought, you know, something to give back as a charity would probably be a good start. Helps us get the pass out from the wives for such an extended period of time as well. So it sort of all sort of started from there, and then we had Simon and Andrew, and unfortunately Simon's not here, but sort of come on board and help us pull it all together. And so in terms of what we've done, so we reach out to a lot of local communities, a lot of parents, to sort of donate to the cause. So we had a target of about 10 grand, so we've exceeded that. And it all culminated in a red versus blue charity match that we had on Thursday night. So it was really good.
Very nice. So whereabouts is the charity game, and how did that turn out? More importantly, did we win?
Well, it was Team Red against Team Blue. So Team Red won. So Palace won. Palace would have won either way. So we had about 150 people there. It was on a Thursday night, just gone, at 6 p.m. And we had the game at Melwood Oval, which is Forest Killarney's local football pitch. And we had all parents, kids, obviously the players came down. So we did quite a big event. It's quite a big event. and now we're up to 11,000. So we've actually increased our target to 15 grand. So we're planning to raise 15,000. We also contacted Crystal Palace as well at Sellers Park, and they've allowed us to go to the open training session. They've given us tickets near the front, and I've asked them for a donation as well. So we're waiting to hear back from them to hopefully see if they'll double what we've raised. You know.
Look, seems fantastic. Like, it's always good in terms of, you know, I think we're a good club that we know that you know, we're big enough that you know we're big, but also we're small enough that we can sort of get involved in this sort of stuff.
I think we've found that if you're not a Palace fan, then if they're not a Palace fan, then Palace are their second favourite team. I don't know if you guys seem to get that, but I get it heaps. Whenever I stand with a Palace fan, they always go, oh yeah, I like them, they're a good team, Palace, yeah, you know, so everyone's favourite.
And look, and absolutely, I mean, nobody likes Man United, so that helped. Got a lot of Liverpool supporters, got a lot of Chelsea and Man City. No, one or two. So we've got a lot on board. But I think for us, the key was how do we sort of help create an atmosphere? Because what we're worried about is we'll walk up at the MCG and it's 90% Man United, 95% Man United. So we just want, the other thing that we had was that how do we create a presence? How do we create a Crystal Palace presence? And we thought having the car wrapped in Crystal Palace colours on the day,
yeah,
you know, it's one way of doing it, right? Because we can't let the scum have all their way, right?
Absolutely. And I think there's two very important questions to ask at this point. So one of them is, A, how do we see this Crystal Palace wrapped car? And B, how do we donate if we want to get involved?
So I've sent the link to Jimmy, all the details. Jimmy, you've got all the details. So he's promised me that he'll share the link on the Palace fan group page. And there's a link there. You can donate $10, $20, $100, whatever you want to donate. And it all goes to a really good charity. Like the charity Got You For Life. You can look further into it. It's an amazing charity. No, there's a lot of charities for, you know, Cancer Council and all these other charities that are equally important. But Got You For Life has seemed to have hit a nerve with a lot of parents at the school and the local community. It's all to do with mental health. I think after COVID, everyone's kind of feeling a bit delicate, you know, mentally. So we found that as soon as we mentioned that the charity was Got You For Life, everyone just signed up to the game. Because they were paying $100 to play in the game. So it wasn't cheap, you know. So yeah, we found it really popular.
And in terms of how do you see the car? So it's definitely going to be there on game day. We're hoping to get as close to the MCG as we can, but we're just working with the event organisers to get close, right? Because I think TG event. So
TG are the event organisers of the whole. They bought Palace out. I think they're a Sydney-based company, TG Live, or what they're called. So they've said that they'll try and get it sort of as close inside the ground as we can. And we've got like massive 5-metre Palace teardrop banners and all that to try and get a bit of a Crystal Palace setup.
Yeah, congregation. But look, I think you're not going to miss it if you're there on the game, and we're close enough. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. It's a Ford Raptor, so it sticks out. Yeah, it'll definitely be noticeable.
Fantastic. Well, Gav, John, thank you very much. Appreciate that. And we will make sure that through the Exiled Eagles socials pages, we've got all those links, and I'll make sure that we get them from you and from Jimmy and so on. Fantastic to see you down here. Welcome to Melbourne. Hope you enjoy the game. Hope you enjoy the weekend. And yeah, hopefully we can continue raising lots of money for what seems a really worthy cause. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much. Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you. And the tip of the season, Palace to finish in the top four. How's that?
Absolutely. We'll make sure that's important. Thank you. As always, national meetup content is big and it's controversial, and it's usually loud, noisy, and quite drunk. So it's quite important that we get in early. And obviously, one of the main people that we have to talk to every time there's a national meetup is the head of CPFC Sydney Supporters Group, Jimmy Fletcher. Jimmy, you're here, you're in Melbourne, you've made it. You're surprisingly more sober than I was expecting. How's your trip been down so far? And just talk me through your general thoughts.
Thanks, Ned. Thanks for the intro. It's been a long day. I was up at 4. I took the cheap option. Got the 7 a.m. Jetstar flight out of Sydney. Do I regret it? Yes and no. It got me there in one place. I booked into the cheapest hotel probably in Melbourne. It was balls cold, but the tram was free. So every cloud. I met up with a couple of Palace lads, Dino down the pub, Paul Shelley and his lovely lady friend. Ned was lucky enough to join us later on. Had a bit of a punt on the ponies, a mixed bag, as you know, you can imagine. Some wins, some losses, but end of the day, we all had a good time. Now we're sitting here in the Exford Hotel. Dean was supposed to be here about half an hour ago, but he was in another pub by the pool table and he's still MIA. But you know, he's got the weekend off, so he's enjoying himself, so it's not my place to judge. But where is Paul Shelley? That's the question. He was here earlier, but he's gone for dinner. And God knows what he's getting up to.
I mean, where is Paul Shelley is not a question that is often asked.
What is Paul Shelley?
I think what is Paul Shelley, as I agree with you, is probably a much better option. Usually, you know, we're familiar with the hashtag where is, you know, just hashtag at most of our meetups. Hopefully most of those people that we usually ask are actually coming this time. But yeah, no, it's good to see here the early stages. And is there anyone you want to shout out or just generally abuse before we head off?
Abuse is a harsh word. Like we're all friends here, but I would like to call out Dave Kendall, Shawnee Rob, Dave Quarty, Rob Seltzer, Chris Jordan, the Godfather. Like, bruh. Where are ya? The list goes on. Like, you know, I was here bright and early, expecting you guys to meet me at the airport. You weren't there. Had to get the City Express bus into town, and that was it. It was a lost hope.
It's not a case of Jimmy. I'm looking at Jimmy at the moment. He's not angry, but he's just disappointed, and I think that's probably the best way to describe it. Anyway, thank you, Jimmy. I will allow you to enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll continue getting stuck into people as they turn up. Thank you. So, still the Exford. The night has been kicking on. Those that were slightly more dedicated than the rest of us and ended up going to Singapore and flying back have now arrived. And of those people that have arrived, we have John. John, how's your night been and how was your flight?
Night is just beginning. Flight was okay. Singapore was fantastic. In fairness for Perth people, it's actually not that far away. It's closer to Melbourne, I believe. But the Melbourneians, they are having a massive show. We can't wait. I am pumped. I'm ready. I can't wait to see this fantastic DJ I've heard so much about. He's wearing paisley. He's got a great beard. I'm all over this.
Yes, Sonny, that is you that is being discussed. And I think that is a very excellent description. Some people have... I mean, I feel bad about saying this, but some people have travelled slightly less. But the effort is still the same. We've got Matt, who is here from Brisbane. Matt, how's your trip been? And are you equally excited to see Tony spin the decks? Slash... just generally be here.
Oh, I'm just rapt to be here. You know, it's been a great weekend so far. I caught up with the boys last night, watched the Liverpool game, you know, shame about the result, but it's all pre-season, so it's all about preparing for the new year. So, yeah, looking forward to Tuesday. You know, it's going to be a huge weekend. We got so many things on with all the Palace fans over the weekend, so... yeah, really pumped for the rest of it. Yeah.
Delighted to hear that, and good to hear some thoughts, particularly from those that have travelled so far. Thank you.
While it was fantastic to catch up with everybody at the events on the weekend, the main show came to town on Monday, starting off with an open training session at the MCG for the Crystal Palace squad in front of about 5,000 football fans. And it was here that very good friend of the show slash former host Tony King was able to catch up with a man who many have described as the face of Palace from afar, Chris Grierson, to discuss all things media and basically what professionalism looks like, given that those on this podcast have absolutely no idea of what the concept means.
Okay, so I am here at the MCG at the open training session with Chris Grierson. Chris Grierson, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good to be here at the G.
So, is this first time in Australia?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, really exciting. Always wanted to come. So it's great that it's been part with Palace.
And so what's your sort of roles like whilst you're here? What's your sort of, what are you doing your day to day?
Well, not having a rest is the main thing. So we're in Singapore first. So I think we left on a Monday night, got there on a Tuesday night. Wednesday there was a training session that we filmed, do interviews with the players, and then there's a school visit, and then there was a fan event in the evening. So our job is to film all of those and then put all the videos together. So we're filming all day and then editing all evening. And the idea with this one is, because it's about growing the club around the world, don't keep anything back just for us. All of our content we've been uploading to Dropboxes in the areas, for the areas that we're in, and then all local media and national media can just take all of our footage and do whatever they want with it. So,
and how's that began? Has it been picked up sort of nationally and internationally?
Yeah, Singapore, yeah, it was on, we saw it pop up on the TV over there. And then I think some of the stuff, like I did an interview with Joel Ward in a school, and that was on Sky Sports News back at home. And I know Premier League Productions, we send it to them and they send it to all of the host broadcasters around the world. So at the moment, we don't know, because we haven't got all the reports back. So it's kind of like, at the moment, we're just throwing everything out there.
Unknown territory.
Yeah, we'll just find out what the numbers are when we get back, I think. But it seems to be going really well, and it's great here today, so many people that have come out for this.
Yeah, staggering, actually. I'm quite surprised quite how many people have made the effort. It's very impressive. And so you're sort of the public face of all this sort of content. Do you sort of get involved in the production and all that kind of stuff as well?
Yeah, everything. So I'm head of video and social media now. So, and I'm on the trip, we've got two videographers, so they film and edit. And then we've got Seb, photographer. We've got Sammy, who's a social media manager. So that's the kind of people creating the content. So I wrote up the plan of what we're going to do. And then I do all the interviews and then sit in on the edits. Well, a lot of the time over here, it's been people disappearing off to their hotel rooms and then sending me and me saying, yeah, it's great. Or no, can you change this and put a bit more of that in? But yeah, we have a chat before about how we want it to look. So it's a team effort.
Right, nice. So without wanting to blow smoke up your ass, we were actually saying yesterday how excellent the content and stuff you do is. So yeah, do a very good job.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, no, we've got a very, very good team at the moment. It's yeah, we've created a lot of good stuff, and it's a good place for people to come in and learn, actually. A lot of the people that we get, it's normally their first job in sport.
Right,
so they start off, but because you're filming so much, and everything you film is different as well. It's not the same thing all the time. Sometimes it's match action, sometimes it's long-form features, sometimes it's short, fun stuff.
It's a good way to cut your teeth, basically,
yeah,
come in,
do 2 years at a football club, and
you've learned everything. Yeah, totally. And like, so say this tour wasn't going on, should this be your sort of time off? Should it be holiday time now? Would you be working sort of this sort of time anyway?
No, there's always some kind of pre-season tour. Pre-season's busy. Like, even between the end of the season and this one was the shortest it's ever been. I think it was just 4 weeks. So we had 2 weeks of catching up on things that, because the end of the season was so busy, that we haven't managed to do. And then 2 weeks planning this, and then the players were back. So
right, no rest for the wicked.
I haven't had any time off.
Do you get any time off during the World Cup, or is that going to be...
Yeah, I think so. I think they stopped playing mid-November. So I need to get my holiday booked in. I had a couple of weeks away in March during one of the international breaks.
Right, okay. Yeah, that kind of works out. And then are you going to get to see much of Australia, or is it just like mill to the grindstone the whole time?
Well, it's Monday today. We arrived yesterday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We went for a walk along the river.
Yeah.
Had a schooner of local craft ale.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Job done.
Went back to the hotel, ate dinner, went to sleep for about 3 hours, and then my body clock, for no reason, woke me up.
I know this problem.
I'd be fine for a week, and then suddenly, I couldn't sleep, so I watched the golf.
Right.
And then tonight, I think we're working as a fan event later on.
That's
today.
Right, yeah.
So we work after that, we'll go back, and then we'll be working until midnight, 1 a.m, I would think.
Wow, it's relentless, man.
Day tomorrow. So we might see something tomorrow, though, a few of us want to go to the laundrette.
Just get your life sorted out.
Yeah, and then Wednesday morning we fly to Perth, so we won't actually see much of Melbourne.
That's a shame, it's a shame.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Love it by the river, it's really nice.
Yeah, it's a great spot. You're staying down Crown Way, right?
Yeah,
very nice. Perfect. All right, cool. Well, thanks for that, mate.
Yeah,
much appreciated.
Nice to meet you after all this time.
It has been a while, yeah.
For the listeners, yeah, we did videos right when I first started with Palace, where we got fans around the world sending their videos, and you sending the videos of you guys up late watching.
Yeah, getting up 4 o'clock in the morning and dragging ourselves down the pub, yeah.
And then you've got the charity game.
Yeah, we do Renf over here as well. Yeah. So, you very kindly stuck us up on your social channels.
We
good
did,
man.
Yeah, do that again.
Yeah, absolutely.
With clear direction from the club to restart the Renf game and a fantastic interview with the one and only Chris Grierson, you could be forgiven for thinking that the exiled Eagles' experience for the open training session had peaked. If you thought that, you were wrong. On the hallowed turf of the MCG, our very own Mark Werner was able to present the little Aussie battler Joel Ward Award trophy to the one and only Joel Ward. Unfortunately, in his excitement, he forgot to get any audio, but there are some cracking pictures all over our socials that were taken by the club photographer, and we have shared those widely across our newly founded Instagram page at Exiled Eagles, hashtag shameless plug. So please head on over there for a good look at those, as well as all of Dale's pictures that he managed to snag with the players in various lifts around their hotel. I swear he wasn't stalking them. Well, at least he swears that. I promise nothing. Speaking of Dale, he had decided to grace this national meetup with his presence. And following the open training session, he, Mark and Tony all caught up at the Imperial Hotel for a bit of a debrief.
Hey, so it's Tony here, and I am with Dale and Mark. We are currently at the Imperial Hotel, where we are going to be having a meet and greet with some Palace sort of players, past and present, in a few hours. So we're just sort of setting up. We've been blowing up some balloons. We've got the flags up. Just come back from the open training session. Dale, do you have a good time at the open training session?
I did. I think we've all said it. Shocked by how many people were there.
Yeah.
You always seem to think that when Palace are playing or whatever, it's our small band of merry men and women, but shocked to see a couple of thousand there, and nice to see the squad out doing their thing. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah, so it was a good sort of 2,000 people, I reckon, what, 50-50 Palace fans and just sort of general football fans?
I'll probably give us a little bit more credit than that. I mean, there's a few more, but definitely some general. I saw some Arsenal shirts, saw some Man United shirts, and then I reckon there would have been locals who just not taken, or I saw some school kids actually, where you take the opportunity to go and see a Premier League football club live in the flesh. So, but yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed being a cricket fan and having watched the MCG, you know, on the TV for years, and then moving to Melbourne and sort of coming to AFL games and what have you. To walk into the MCG and seeing the MCG welcomes Crystal Palace on the big screens, it was quite a moment. So that was great. And Mark, obviously, you had a very good time at a meet and greet. Do you want to sort of discuss what happened?
So, yeah, just to backtrack, it was great to get to the G today. Obviously, hallowed turf here in Australia, arguably our premier sporting ground in the country. I had only been there twice before to see a State of Origin game that we lost on the soccer play Brazil that we also lost. So, not...
Bodes well for tomorrow, then.
And you're coming, Dale, so we're not scared.
Yeah,
So like yourself, Tony, just on the race, and you see the light towers in the distance and walking in, it was a bit spine-tingly, and then to go in and see, you know, Melbourne Cricket Ground welcoming Crystal Palace to essentially our backyard. I had to pinch myself a couple of times today and was looking out and said to Matt, who's down from Bridgie, I said, how good's this, mate? We're looking out over the pitch of the MCG, and there's our boys running around. In amongst, 2,000 odd people that all kind of came from the clouds. We seem to think it might be 50 or 80 of us, and we'd all know each other on a first name basis. That wasn't the case. So it was good to have everybody out, and a few hangers on from Arsenal supporters, obviously, there to catch a glimpse of Pat and so forth. And Yeah, they often say, you know, you never want to meet your heroes, but today I got to do that, and it was a joyous occasion. I presented Joel Ward with the Little Aussie Battler Joel Ward Award, which is a trophy I had made up prior to leaving Brisbane. Got that engraved. He was well chuffed about it, so he played ball. Called me in out the stands onto the pitch. It was great, and got a bit of content with the club's media there. He's a good lad. I mean, it's a bit of a nonsense scene. I just thought, what the fuck's this all about? But,
he was, I pre-warned him last night, mate.
Yeah.
Don't
run into him in the hotel where he's staying last night. So he was pre-warned. So, no, he's a good bloke. He's a good sport.
Yeah.
And was very accommodating and, you know, just welcomed him to the country and down under. And, yeah, I just love what he does on and off the pitch, which I told him. And hence him being presented with his own award.
Yeah, so I should imagine that will be on the official Crystal Palace channels because there was quite a lot of sort of cameras and what have you.
Yeah, so. Yeah, but bunch of photos and stuff going on, mate. People scurrying about and getting some snaps. So I'm looking forward to seeing, hopefully, something comes through and doesn't all end up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
But a bit of a novelty, probably something a bit odd or out of left field for those guys. So, mate, if he got something out of it, I'm just absolutely buzzing just to shake his hand and meet him and say good day and get a photo op, obviously.
Yeah, we'll stick some photos up on the Exiled Eagles sort of Facebook page and we'll get them up on the CPFC Instagram page as well so you can see Mark and his absolute elements.
I was doing my level best not to have my voice crack or sound like a gushing schoolgirl. Oh my God, Joel Ward. So yeah, I think I kind of maintained a bit of parody and yeah. I mean, it was just, yeah, heart was in my mouth, mate.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Racing.
It's all very quite sudden and...
Yeah, didn't have anything prepared, you know, other than the trophy. So yeah, as I said to you boys, it was $42 well spent and got me on the pitch at the G. Yeah. So couldn't be happier at this stage.
Tick that off. And so, obviously, Joel Ward, one of our sort of first team legends, we should probably discuss the elephant in the room, which is the lack of the rest of the first team, really. Various sort of issues with vaccinations and fitness and all that kind of stuff. Dale, sort of, what's your thinking? What's your viewpoint?
Yeah, look, it is disappointing. You want to see everyone. We know certain players at the club are bigger draw cards than others. But for me personally, I think, you know, just they're out here. Just we've got a bunch of first teamers out here, an opportunity for some of the other kids, an absolute opportunity of a lifetime to come out to Australia and see a country that some of them will never ever see again and play football. It is what it is. Jimmy just made a point downstairs, a bit of a joke. We all should have got vaccinated for Roy Hodgson, probably just to protect him.
That is a very good point.
But it is what it is. And at the end of the day, it's people's individual choice. And I think what we then probably have to say is the club have actually probably boxed a bit smart and gone, well, if we're going to have a bunch here doing nothing, we might as well leave some more here. And at least then we can have the two squads doing something at the same time. So, you know, the end result might not be the greatest for those who have travelled out from England or whatever. But, you know, I don't think we can... I'm not going to sit here and knock them. I'm going to be positive for once. I'm not going to sit here and knock them on that. It is what it is. And I'm just glad that the red and blue are out here.
I'm the opposite of you. I'm pretty pissed off about it, to be honest. I think I kind of get it, like, if players don't want to get vaccinated, but we've got, basically, our two centre-backs aren't playing together for the entire pre-season. Our entire attacking unit isn't playing together. Yeah. That's no good. I think the other disappointment for me was, you know, we got the cheapest tickets were $90. That's, what, 40, yeah. 50 quid. Yeah. Most tickets are 120 to 180. That's more expensive than the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And we're essentially watching an under-23s training session. So,
well, mate, Singapore, I got a mate who lives in Singapore and he didn't go. He was not going to pay $150 anyway.
Yeah.
And then when the squad came, and that's 150 Singapore, which is around about 200 Aussie, I think.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite expensive. I may have got that wrong, but I have apologies. And then when the squad came out, it just further justified for him why he wasn't going to come. So,
totally. I mean, I don't know what the club could do about it, but it does leave a bit of a bitter aftertaste. You know. And my theory as well is this whole thing is a promotional activity, right? Like, the whole reason they're over here is to spread the gospel of Crystal Palace and... you know, us getting walloped by Liverpool and walloped by Man United and potentially walloped by Leeds is not exactly going to win too many fans.
I think the thing is as well, though, I've said it earlier, there's the whole generation of kids who we saw today at the MCG who didn't have their... he had their Palace shirts. I've never seen Palace before, and this is going to be amazing for them. And as far as they're concerned, it's disappointing they won't see some of their heroes, but as far as they're concerned, it breeds a whole new group of supporters.
Yeah.
In terms of will we get asked back, I think we just got said in the WhatsApp group, ultimately, we are the nice to haves here. It would be great if we had the first team squad, but we're just a team who are playing against Man United. We are here to provide... meant to provide opposition to Man United to do a glorified training session and match. So, whilst I am trying to be positive, the disappointing thing is, of course, we would love to see a lineup of Wilf, Mateta, and Olise with Eze and whoever else. So, Doucouré, how good would it be to see Doucouré playing and that sort of thing? And it is disappointing because now we're going to be relegated back to watching it on Palace TV, and it's definitely not going to be the same at midnight when you're drunk at home on your own, you know, so
but talking to Palace TV, you know, I chatted to Chris Grierson earlier on, so we'll play that interview later, but I guess there was a media opportunity for them, you know, they're getting loads of great content, so for that reason alone, you know, that kind of works for the club.
I think I'll probably I'll fence it here and I'll take a bit of both. And what you said, I agree that, you know, there's a lot smarter people put a lot more time into the research and working out the metrics of who they should bring or logistically what might make sense, leave, you know, some big hitters at home. I think they trundled out the vaccine card a bit. I call a bit of bullshit on that because I think Australia, you don't even need to be vaccinated to come in. So I think that was very much something that a flag or a card they could wave without having to substantiate necessarily some of their reasonings for not bringing some stars out here. So I get that. And if it can kind of kill two birds with one stone, then, you know, so be it. Obviously, if someone's injured, they're not coming or potentially going to be sold. They wouldn't want them coming and getting injured either. However, they've come to Australia for the first time. We're a whistling Dixie. It's in a backyard. We want to see all the lads. That's kind of not happening. You know, as I said to you guys on the WhatsApp group, whatever, Joel Ward's coming, couldn't care less. but yeah, you know, obviously you want, like anything in any team, you want to see the big guy, the big guns, you know.
It's the ballers as well, right? It's the ballers that have stayed at home, and that's probably the most disappointing
when
thing.
When we compare it as well, the bit that probably hurts for me the most, actually, is when you compare it to Leeds and Man United and you look at their squads. I don't know a lot about the Leeds squads, but I recognise a lot of the names they're bringing.
I think it's essentially their first team squad.
And Man United is everyone bar Cristiano Ronaldo. So he's had personal problems and he's looking at a transfer, so whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone else has come. Yeah. So, yeah, do they understand the idea of a commercial exercise better than anyone else? Probably do. And that might be it. And that is not me knocking Palace saying they don't know how to do commercial stuff, because obviously, look at us, we stood here like mugs in a pub 4 hours before they arrived. So they got it right. But it's just interesting to see, like, they United do bring everyone over. So, anyway.
I think, that's just to touch on finally, but the squad coming out or whatever. Obviously, in a perfect world, you want the stars, everyone to come out. At the end of the day, the team and playing is almost secondary. It's about all of us getting together, have the crack, have the banter, wave the flag, sing song, a bit of carry on, you know, live large for a few days off the chain and, just be around the boys and have a laugh and then, at some point, watch Crystal Palace play
football. Watch Crystal Palace. I mean, that's it. I mean, the game here is Tuesday night, so people started arriving Friday. So I woke up Sunday after, like, 2.5 days out at the Palace. It's like, the game isn't for another 3 days. I'm absolutely ruined here. So it's been quite good to get together with everyone. So we had the open training session this morning, the MCG. We've got the sort of meet and greet in abbreviated commas this afternoon. Hopefully get a couple of first team players, Mark Bright potentially. I know Chris Grierson's going to come down and do a bit of a Q&A. Sort of looking forward to that, Dale.
I think it'd be great. I think, again, these are the sort of opportunities we don't get regularly unless we make the arsehole of a trip back to the UK. So or on com in your case, Mark. yeah, so that will be great. And I think I mentioned it earlier, someone like Brighty, just, you know, as a 40-year-old man, is a legend. As much as, you know, Wilf has done whatever he's done, and we've had other star players over the time, when I started watching Palace, it was Brighton right up front. So for me to meet him and hear him talk would be amazing. And also, I think we've got to give it to Mr. Grierson as well. I mean, he's probably come just as famous as some of the players or some of the stuff they've done as a whole, as a club. But also, they've supported us in some of the endeavours we've had as a supporters club over here.
Don't blow any more smoke up his arse. No. I've already done it too this morning.
So, you know, so I'll give him a bit of credit. So it'd be nice to meet him as well. You know, it's just sometimes when you see these guys, you don't go, well, yeah, see you on TV. But then they're still in front of you, regardless of it's Chris Grierson, Mark Bright, Joel Ward, or whoever player comes up today. I think it'd just be nice just to hear them speak and get an opportunity to say hi and shake a hand.
Totally, and of
if
course,
we're allowed to shake hands.
Yeah, I'm not even sure we're allowed to do that. But of course, you have already met a lot of the players, haven't you? So you've had a bit of a result, haven't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. So I'm standing at the Crown Metropole, and I got very lucky. I saw Brighty on the phone, photo with him, photo with Dean Kiley and Sean Derry, which is nice. And I told Sean that I last met him in 2004. He didn't seem to care.
Didn't remember?
They didn't remember me, funnily enough. No.
At least pretend.
Yeah, at least pretend. And then last night, just strolling back through a place, I did see some of the players out and about. Literally, they're just having a stroll, catching up on what is Melbourne. And I just got some photos with predominant members of the first team squad, who would be the normal first team squad. So had a bit of a chat with some of them, and they seem quite thrilled to be here, in fairness. Then, like, funnily enough, none of them have been to Australia before. And I assume that is a professional athlete's life. You have a 4-week holiday and you've got to spend some of that time with family, and maybe then you go and party for a week and then you
go to Dubai or Ibiza.
Yeah, that's it. And then you get back into pre-season training. So, I think with some of them, just the opportunity to walk up and down the Yarra. I heard some of them say they went on a loop around the hotel. It's a nice area, so yeah, great to see him and great to have a chat.
Right, and then so we got that today, and then tomorrow is the match against Manchester United. I'm actually, like we were saying, the sort of get together is more important than the actual match.
Yeah.
So me, like, I'll just turn up and have a sing song. But you got any sort of care about a match? Any thoughts about it, Mark?
Result wise, none at all. Obviously, given the squad that we'll be playing, so it's not going to be representative or indicative of how we might fare in the season proper. If the old adage is you're only as good as your last game, well, 1-0 to Palace. So if that plays out again, I'm more than happy for that to take place.
I think didn't they say that like Donald Bradman, you're only as good as your last innings, and he got out for one. Oh, he got out for, was it?
He got out for zero, I think. And he needed four to get a test batting average of 100.
Yeah.
And that's why he ended up at 99.96.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, exactly that. I mean, it's you know, going to be 11 guys in red and blue playing Man U. All very cool. You know, it's a big wingding affair here. Some of the trams getting about town in full Man U decals. I think I saw a rickshaw with Palace colours on it down by the river there earlier. But that, we're very much, I mean, we know who we are, and we're the second team on this tour. It's a Man U tour that we're taking part in. So, it's just good. It's really cool. Like, you know, I'm of similar age, a little bit older than you boys, but I'm joining come late on the Palace train, 2004. So whilst knowing of Wright and Bright and just seeing highlights, I didn't watch them go around in their pomp. Was lucky enough to catch up with Brighty in Hong Kong in 2017, which with Richard, and then we hit him up about that again today at the G. He remembered the night, had a good crack. So
he pretended to remember. Yeah, there you go. He's a professional.
Yeah, afraid of going short. Come on, mate.
Yeah. So you know, that was pretty cool. And then yesterday when we got out to Mountain Goat Brewery, Steve Browlett turned up there with his son, and you know, a lot of us there were saying that, you know, this is not happening to Man U supporters. We know very much. We know very well that they wouldn't be holed up in a boozer somewhere, and Ten Hag or a Glazier or someone's going to swan in and be like, "All right, lads," and get a photo with them out front of their car with their personalised plates, or you know, whatever. So, whilst not perfect with the squad or whatever, we're still very lucky and privileged, I think, to get in the positions we are. And the fact that, you know, Joel or Chris and these people are just giving us the time of day, you know. We're just a couple of tin pot blokes on the other side of the world with a funny little podcast that pretends to know a bit about football.
That's Ned. What about the rest of us?
Well, Ned mainly, yeah. I focus on haircuts and Joel Ward. So, yeah, you know, it's all cool. And we'll see, you know, if the boys light up. I mean, absolutely, you know, if we absolutely trounce them, how good would that be?
Yeah.
Our 2 of 126 bays absolutely giving it large to the rest of the MCG will be fantastic. So we'll see.
Absolutely. And you made a very good point, and like, I was sort of bitter about the team and all that sort of stuff, but the club have given us the time of day, you know, and they absolutely didn't have to, and that's
they've been paid, they're coming out here, they're doing the do regardless. And just as you know, good optics and metrics and just goodwill, I think they've extended themselves and Chris and co to have a chat with us and be in touch with us and so on and so forth.
I think it's a testament to the club, you know, and
absolutely.
As you said, this is not happening in Man United. I guarantee all the media commitments they're doing are Channel 10, Fox Sports, etc.
Project.
I'm sure we're doing the same, but at the same time, there are these events going on. And the reason being is because we've got genuine supporters. And I'm not having to go at Man United, the global reach. There are people there who just follow the brand.
It's different.
They don't get the Palace thing. Yeah. It's very different. So. I'll take that opportunity to say thank you to the club as well, because I think it just means a lot to us to be given the time that we've been given. So, yeah.
Totally. So, I guess it's the match tomorrow and then on to Perth, where I should imagine we'll sort of meet up again and have another chat. We've got to talk Dale into getting on that plane.
Reconvene. Also, in podcast history, will be the first time all members of the podcast have been assembled in the one room since the podcast started. I think we've been together before. We were podding and for a meetup.
Yes.
But as podcasters, so that's exciting, and we'll get a bit of audio for you guys for that. And looking forward to that and tonight, and see how it all plays out, and try and stay upright and out of shop fronts. It'll be good.
That's for another podcast.
Yeah.
All right, lads. Well, let's enjoy tonight and touch base soon.
Absolutely.
Bye bye.
From there, it was on to the fan event, also at the Imperial Hotel. Massive thanks to Brendan Elskood for sorting this out for us regards to a venue. And it was a fantastic experience. Most of the footage of that can be found and is plastered all over the official club socials. But we were able to catch up with a few more fans, including one very important guest, who finally turned up to a national meetup.
So here at the Imperial Hotel, Mark Bright's just left after his fully 25 to 30 minute stint, along with a terrified Jezrak Saki, Teo Adaramola, Killian Phillips, who I still don't think knows where he is, and Nathaniel Klein, who appears to have been the only one that was media trained. But I'm here with some regulars. We've got Beer Brave Dave, everyone's favourite Chris Jordan.
Yeah, luckiest. No.
We also have some massive predictions coming up from Shawnee Robb, and a special guest who will reveal themselves shortly. However, Shawnee, you were saying that you had some big predictions for next season. Would you like to share them with the group?
Well, I reckon we'll probably end up 14th, random as it is. And Ben Tekka would still be the top goal scorer.
I mean, I was expecting more wild, but some of you may have heard a voice in the background there. It's possible. But one of the questions that we often ask at these meetups, usually accompanied by a hashtag, where is Rob Seltzer?
Rob Seltzer is here an hour late, so I turned up to the pub as the players left. So wasted my time, so I'm going home.
More importantly, where was Beer Brave Dave the entire weekend?
And we can ask him that because he's here.
Well, it's a long weekend, so I'm here. Not sure, not really sure.
But where? I think more the question is, where were you? Where was Beer Brave Dave?
So I've been in Melbourne. I've been in the ice bar. I've been going for a dinner.
We've taken that name. Is it still Beer Brave Dave?
Would you like to react to that?
No comments.
Fair enough. And more importantly, we need to throw to the person that is everyone cares about, because four, five people have spoken now and no one cares about their opinions. But Giordo, with, as always, the Giordo's Lucky Door Prize, who he's now given out prizes to most of the Melbourne population. Giordo,
he didn't even give me a ticket.
I think the door prize went well. Everyone won, or most people won. And I think in relation to Beer Brave Dave's question, it's just Dave now. There's no Beer Brave, just Dave.
Hashtag Dave. Hashtag who's
and
Dave?
Also, hashtag, the big question is, where is Andrew Holmes? He's not here. Holmesy, where are you, mate?
Who is Andrew?
Where is Jimmy Fletcher?
Well played.
There are a number of questions. There are a number of questions at this stage of the evening. I have work tomorrow and I'm here. But the question is, where is Jimmy Fletcher? And also, having been here for all of 5 minutes, taken all of the glory he could possibly imagine, and then fucked off, hashtag, where is Dale Quarty? Because it's a question that must be asked at all national meetups. I leave you with that absolute bombshell, and we will speak again soon.
And with that, the fun of the build-up was complete, and all that was left in Melbourne was the game against Manchester United at the MCG. The pub beforehand was incredible. We have very little audio, mostly because it was either too loud or we were too drunk. And then it was on to the game. 2,000 Palace having a bit of fun. 74,000 plastic wankers sitting in silence, apart from the occasional boo for Harry Maguire. The game disappointing until late in the second half at 3-0 down. The man of the hour did this.
And tonight, the man who's been at Palace for a decade.
That's right. Inspired by being awarded the inaugural Little Aussie Battler Joel Ward Award, the man of the hour, Joel Ward, had scored for Crystal Palace. Mark Werner, we looked for him to celebrate. We looked left, nowhere to be seen. We looked right, nowhere to be seen. We assumed that the exiled Eagles budget was in for a $10,903.20 hit. But no, he wasn't on the pitch. Rob caught up with him after the game to see where he had been.
All right, we're in the only pub in Melbourne still open. It's 11:32 on a Tuesday night. Ola Adebayemi nearly scored, so I was nearly on the pitch, but he didn't. But Joel Ward did score. So, Marky Werner, how was it? How was it?
Well, yeah, fantastic, obviously, to get to the G tonight and see the boys run round. If there was anyone that was ever going to score for the Mighty Palace, it was always going to be Joel Ward. He's a foot taller in stature after receiving the Little Aussie Battler Joel Ward Award that he received with aplomb yesterday at the G at the training session. So who should bang in the goal? A la Joel Ward. Who was at the toilet and missed all of it? Me.
I was going to say, where were you when the goal went in? You were having a piss. So, congratulations.
Thank you. It was always on the cards if I ducked out for the only 3 minutes of the game. We scored, and of course, it had to be Joel Ward. So, look, I'm happy to put me head in a noose and go to the loo and have a wee and have us score for the betterment of all. We got to be up and about, and I mean, you know, the whole thing has been Man U on tour, not CPFC, but our 2,000 outsung there, 75 odd. We had a good laugh, and you know, it was what it is. We can't take too much from that game, given with the squad being split. It essentially means nothing. It was 11 blokes in our kit running around playing 11 in theirs on the hallowed turf down here. I had a great time. It was good to catch up with lads. Bit of a sing song, bit of carry on. No one got hurt. Well, there was a Man U supporter at the end that got a Liverpool kiss, but that's fair play. So, absolutely. Yeah, great time, and good time had by all, I think.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. It wasn't much about the game. It's about the crack. It's about getting Palace fans. We must have, as I said, there must have been 400 in the pub beforehand, people we've never met before, just people having a fucking good time. Like, and it was a great, like, I'm not going to Perth. I know you're going to Perth. Enjoy Perth. I'm not sure. I won't survive Perth. for many a reason. The wife will kill me. The body won't survive it anyway. So enjoy Perth, my man, and represent.
Thank you, mate. My liver absolutely wants to get on a plane tomorrow and go back to Brisbane. Alas, that's not happening. I'm getting on a plane on Thursday and I'm going Perth bound. So we'll see what's happening over there. Obviously, we've had a few WA boys over here. They've been amongst it, so it's their turn in a couple of days. So it remains to be seen what goes on over there. The bar has been raised. The club has been great. The support has been great. Looking for a bit bloody warmer weather, hopefully, Rob. My Queensland skin is...
It is absolutely fucking freezing.
I haven't been able to feel my toes since Friday. But, yeah, very much looking forward to it, mate. Bring on WA. Optus Stadium, which I've never been to, looks an absolutely mint ground. Got leads, so we're, you know, probably a bit better chance of having a win or, you know, maybe banging a few more goals or whatnot. So we'll see what happens there. Safe travels, my friend. Great to catch up with all the boys from the Exiled Eagles in person for the first time ever, as a full compliment. Was in the casino at sort of 4 o'clock this morning and a few blokes wanting a few pictures with myself once I worked out that I was the bloody idiot on Exiled Eagles. So evidently there are more than 26 that listen. So good on you all. Tell your friends. This has been fantastic and we'll see you over in WA.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Mikey Mark.
Okay, so take two post-fact of Crystal Palace taking on Manchester United at the MCG tonight here in Melbourne, which you obviously know about. I got a little bit of audio with Rob Seltzer before, who had to go home. Ned Rock, who's been very much man on the ground here in Melbourne and sorting out lots of bits and pieces for us. Ned, your thoughts on the game in general tonight?
It was terrible. Everything about it was awful, but it was very nice to see everyone out and about. The national, what we were all looking forward to was seeing everyone. The numbers were great. We all had a bit of fun. We had a bit of a sing-song. Football was always going to be just a thing that happened in the background. There was, I don't know, 1,000-odd Palace fans that were happy to sing some songs, and there were 70-odd, I would call them Man United fans, but fans would suggest that they sort of had some knowledge of what the fuck they were talking about and who was there, which I'm unconvinced by, and a few people who decided that the $10,903.20 pitch invasion fine was worth paying. So it was good to see a couple of them get fucking rugby tackled by security. So that was entertaining. I know he's not, you know, not necessarily does some strange things at times, but I do have to shout out Ross Phillips for headbutting a bloke with a Superman headbutt and reclaiming a stolen cap and still not being evicted by security. So that was impressive. And also the random guy with the mullet who had levels of energy that I have never seen in my life. That's a brief rundown of my highlights.
I think old mate who you're talking about was channeling a little bit of Breaking Bad product with his effervescent sing-song throughout the 90 minutes tonight. It was interesting. It had a little bit of everything. Tonight, obviously not the result we're after. It means nothing, clearly. You know, the guys out here, it was just, you know, some people ask me what I wanted or thought of the match. It don't matter. Lucky you, mate. It was just about the sing-song, the catch-up, the crack, the bants, all that sort of gear. I've been here from Friday. I'm slowly sounding more English by the day, which is annoying. But it's been great. It's been lots of fun. Obviously, a little bit of audio when he left before with Rob. So I'm catching Ned before he goes. So I'd like to say, too, is, you know, I'm the governor in Brisbane, up in Queensland, and congratulations to Ned and to Tony for sorting out all the machinations and logistics of a lot of what's going on down here in Melbourne for the meetup / Palace on Tour. So good on you, Ned. I say hand on heart, mate. From every support here, everyone has been absolutely wrapped tickle pink with what's going on, what's been on offer, how it's all played out, the club fan engagement, obviously the administering of the Joel Ward Award on the hallowed turf of the MCG, which I happen to take part in, highlight of my life. So it's been great, mate. So, you know, good on you and thank you.
Oh, look, I think, you know, obviously I've had fun with it. I think Tony probably deserves a lot of credit for a lot of that sort of stuff. But, you know, it's just good to see that many people here. I mean, you say that you didn't know what you wanted. I feel like you did know what you wanted and you were in the toilet when it happened. Joel Ward scoring at the MCG. I felt so bad. I went to celebrate with you and you just weren't there. It happened. It was great. You can watch the replay forever. You'll have at least that memory of the time that you were on the MCG with Joel Ward. And let's be honest, that's much better than him heading a meaningless goal past a shitty Spanish player who didn't give a fuck in goal for Manchester United.
Absolutely, mate. I was in the can and I heard the boys go. I went, oh, I always scored. And as I shuffled out, I thought, oh, it's probably Alan Joel Ward, wasn't it? In mock to myself. And then I come out, I was like, number two, Joel Ward. And I was like, well, of course it was. And I couldn't help but think that the pretty much sole reason he was the only Palace player to score tonight against Manchester United was because he was presented with a trophy from myself, the little Aussie Battle of the Joel Ward Award.
I think that's 100% true. And to be honest, despite scoring, I think if you were to ask Joel himself, was that your highlight of your time at the MCG? The answer would be no. His answer would be receiving the little Aussie Battle of Joel Ward Award from the esteemed Mark Werner, the Australian Shakespeare himself, the wordsmith of Exiled Eagles. What an honour that was. Who gives a fuck about scoring in a meaningless friendly when you get that sort of prestige delivered to you? And with that, I've got to go get the last train. Farewell, Mark. Farewell, Exiled Eagles listeners. Until the next one, it's been great.
Excellent, Ed. Thanks for your time. Cheers, guys.
And for many of us, that was that. However, for some of us, and by some, I mean Mark, who, God bless his liver, is still alive, there was still a game and a few days worth of drinking to come. As you can probably hear by our voices at this stage, they were starting to quaver and they were starting to struggle. But Mark Werner kicked on and Perth was the next stop. First up, a trip to the Leaderville Hotel where he caught up with Palace player Scott Banks.
So I'm here with one of the Crystal Palace players on tour over here in Perth, Scott Banks. Thanks for your time and welcome, firstly, to Australia. I can only apologise about the weather, mate. Is she not too flash?
No, it actually reminds me of back home, so I can't complain too much at all. It's actually quite warm here.
Blokes must be gutted, mate. 40 odd at home in sunshine, and we've dragged you over here for this, so I do apologise. If your initial tour planned out and you got up to the Sunshine State, where I'm from, it might have been a different story. So, mate, I won't go through all the generic stuff you've already been asked. First time in Australia, I'm assuming?
Yeah, first time, yeah, anywhere near this side of the world. It's some experience, something that I would never have got to do. I don't think if I weren't affiliated with the club, and something so fortunate to be a part of.
Oh, excellent, mate. It's absolute pleasure to have you guys down here. Obviously, the club's first time down under. It is a long way away from home. Obviously, I can appreciate. Looking forward to the game tomorrow night?
Yeah, like I said in there, any opportunity to play in front of the manager, in front of these numbers of fans, is something that's so valuable to me as a young player. And yeah, hopefully I get a decent amount of minutes and I get a chance to go and show and express myself, and hopefully be fun to watch as well for you guys. So yeah, I can't wait, and anything I get, I'll be I'll hopefully take the chance.
Excellent, mate. Well, we're all absolutely buzzing to have you here in the flesh, and obviously you'll do the strip proud tomorrow night. Speaking of Chris earlier, and you guys on a pretty tight schedule here, I think you go straight back, direct from here back home. While you are here, mate, any chance to get and cuddle a koala or anything like that?
No, we didn't cuddle any koalas, but we have done a little bit of things wherever we've been. And like today, we're at the stadium where the game's going to be, and we're hanging off the roof of it, me, Rob, and Wardy. So that was a good experience. And knees were shaking a bit, but it was good to do these things. And like I said, there's no way I would have been doing any of these things if I went over to play these games. So yeah, it was really enjoyable.
Fantastic, mate. Is Joel still buzzing about getting the little Aussie Battler Joel Ward Award that I presented to him at the MCG the other day?
I'm sure he is, yeah. I'm sure any player that picks up any was delighted, so I'm sure he'll be pleased.
Well, from what I can tell, mate, he's the only bloke from the team that's won the trophy so far down under. Scott Banks, thanks very much for your time, mate. Much appreciated. Go well tomorrow night. Yeah, cheers, no man.
Thanks, unfortunately, Mark was unable to have the same impact on Scott Banks as he'd had on Joel Ward a few days earlier, but Palace still put on a much improved performance, taking a 1-1 draw against Leeds in a game that we probably should have won. But don't take my word for it. Here's Rob Street.
Please give me your boots.
Oh, do you have your shin pads too?
Mr. Street, thoughts after the game?
Oh, I should have won that.
Can I have your shin pads?
Good lad. Cheers, brother. Thank you, man.
The annoying kids did not get Rob Street's boots. And that was it. The Palace tour down under was over, and all that was left was for Marky Werner to get on a plane and go home. But being the ever-professional, dedicated Exiled Eagles podcaster that he is, he made sure to catch up with a couple more fans just before heading out.
So, post-match here at Optus Stadium in Perth, Crystal Palace 1, Leeds United 1. Some contentious refereeing throughout the game. Leeds were awarded a penalty, in air quotes, to get 1-0. Palace caught it back to 1-1. Tyrick Mitchell missed from about 4 yards and managed to put it over the bar to be 1-1 at stumps. I'm here with Perth legend John Bright. John, your thoughts post-game?
Well, pretty much as you said, really. Unlucky, I thought, with a penalty. I thought actually we had a couple of chances. Probably our best, well, I suppose, best team to play against with the whole competition of the three sides. Very evenly matched in some ways. I think we made a bit of a sing and a song, a few balloons, quite a few balloons out there. It kind of made a bit of a... It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it.
It was good to see, mate. I think I agree. It was certainly the... appeared to be the strongest side we'd fielded to start a match on this tour. Obviously, Leeds were up and about. They had a fairly full-strength stride. Not that I know their squad that well. Your thoughts on some of the kids in tonight's game and the tour in general?
Kids, fantastic. Speaking to Steve Parrish today, you know, not personally, but listening to him, you know, talking about how they're bringing the kids through and their philosophy for the future, the future is very bright at the Palace.
Indeed it is. Also been flanked here by Richard Nicholas, one of my brethren's down from Brisbane, done the double over to Melbourne and then across the Nullarbor to Perth. Rich, your thoughts on tonight's game, mate?
Oh, look, it's awesome just to have the whole team here in Australia as a start. But yeah, it's great. Great to see the team play tonight. I think the penalty that Leeds got was a bit dodgy call by the ref, but it was nice that we got the goal from open play to sort of try and put the record straight.
Absolute fucking horseshit goal. Penalty, rather, I should say, with that. Less scratching the head. But yeah, I think we're all in agreement. If we had a choice of getting a pen tonight, contentious or otherwise, or banging one in open play, we certainly got the chocolates there. We're Palace, we march on, still proud of the club. It was good to see everyone out tonight. 34,000 odd here at Optus Stadium. Beautiful stadium. Been well looked after by the crew here, the Perth supporters group. All the boys, Colin, as well, Colin Morgan, friend of the show, obviously. Been well looked after here, Leederville Hotel. All been cool. We've got a bit of a farewell do now that we'll go and get to them. We'll all bloody preside over a pint or two or three.
And also, we have a couple of game shirts as well for auction as well tonight.
Correct. A couple of signed game shirts by the tour squad tonight. So we're going to get along to that. And we'll all chew the bloody fat and have various post-mortems, I'm sure. Tellers at a few jars. All right, guys, cheers. So we're off the train from the beautiful Optus Stadium. A couple of stops down the road at Victoria Park, heading to the Broken Hill Hotel for the farewell do of the tour. The club and team leaving Australia post-game. A few post-mortems on the train, a bit of this and that with a few Leeds supporters and Palace alike. We're shuffling along here. Kindly joined by Pete Edwards, who's a Brizzy stalwart. He's come down here and done the triple on the tour. He got up to Singapore. Neil said Suncorp there. That didn't happen. Got up to Singapore for the Liverpool game. Met us down in Melbourne and then came across the Nullarbor to Perth. So, obviously, Pete, you've seen a few things that we haven't. The first game and what was going on there. So, just give us some of your thoughts on the match up there, the vibe, the crowd, the quality of game, the team on the field, that sort of thing.
Yeah, first of all, the games showed progression, I thought. Obviously, it's tough playing Liverpool and Manchester United, but I think we got better against Manchester United and we were quite good against Leeds. The vibe, though, without doubt, Melbourne had the best vibe, the best atmosphere, best singing. I thought Perth was a really nice stadium, but just didn't have the atmosphere of the other grounds. And Singapore was okay because there was quite a tightly packed wedge of Palace supporters in a group, and that created its own little mini atmosphere within the stadium, so that was terrific.
Yeah, I suspect the Singapore game was similar to what myself and Richard experienced in 2017. In Hong Kong, 95% Liverpool, and then the other 5% divvied up amongst the three remaining teams. We managed to get a little wedge there of Palace and had a bit of a sing-song, which is quite cool. Not allocated seating, which didn't help the cause. Mate, what was... So up there, obviously, the bulk there to see Liverpool. Did you get any locals take interest in your kit or ask about Palace or just make any general inquiries about the club?
Look, it was like being a celebrity at Singapore because the Palace numbers were so small, and predominantly the Liverpool supporters were local, so they were not global supporters. They were local Singaporeans, and so I had my photo taken with multiple groups of people in their Liverpool shirt to give them some balance as to who they might have been playing on that particular day. It happened to be Crystal Palace. But look, it was friendly. It was quite a good atmosphere, but there was 55,000 at the stadium, and 54,000 of them, 500 would have been supporting Liverpool and less than 500 supporting the Palace. But yeah, it is what it is, I guess. But I felt like a celebrity with the amount of photos that had taken of me, so that was good. Paparazzi-ish.
Well, mate, I won't hold that against them. I've stopped for many a photo on this tour with your good self already, and I've known you for several years. So, fair to say, you know, the Palace vibe rang true throughout amongst the supporters at the grounds. We've already covered a couple of times on the pod. You know, it was about all this getting together, having a crack, having a bit of a sing-song, a laugh, seeing some kids, you know, stars of the future, as... Brody said today at the presser, I said, like we were pressed, came into the pub, and himself and Steve Parrish addressed us for about an hour, which was great. Good photo opportunity for us all. Also, a happy birthday to Steve a couple of days ago in Melbourne. So, yeah, as I said, we're going to march on to the Broken Hill Hotel now for the farewell of the tour, and we'll check in with you guys on the pod at a later date. Cheers.
And that really was the end. Palace were heading home, so was Mark's liver, and the national meetup was over. The biggest one we've ever had, enormous numbers, a fantastic time had by all, many new friends made, and hopefully staying connected and showing why being a fan of Crystal Palace Football Club is just not the same as supporting any of those other teams. Massive thanks to so many people for helping organise it and get everything done. Tony for everything in Melbourne and sorting all that stuff out. Brendan for sorting out the Imperial as a venue for the meet and greet in Melbourne. Going across to Perth, the likes of Colin for doing everything that he did over there to sort all of that out. A really fantastic effort there. And from the club, the likes of Matt Franks, who helped us out with so many of those contacts. Chris Grierson for donating his time for a bit of a chat. Likewise, Scott Banks and just everybody else who gave so much time and made it such a special event for all of the fans here in Australia. I'm sure I speak for everyone here when we say how much it was really appreciated that they were able to go out of their way to make it such a good time for us. Best on ground award for the whole meetup has to go to the man who went to literally everything, our very own Marky Werner. Congratulations there, and we look forward to seeing everyone at the next national meetup in Adelaide. Yes, those fans do exist. Yes, we have now met them, and looking forward to see what they can put on at the start of 2023. If you're looking for a bit more of an Exiled Eagles fix, we should have our season preview podcast coming out next week, which I believe will make this by far the shortest gap between two podcasts in the history of Exiled Eagles. So... try not to get used to that, because I'm sure it won't happen again. check us out on our new Instagram page as well, at Exiled Eagles. We're on Twitter with the same handle. Facebook, obviously. Podcasts, as always, available on all of your usual podcasting stations. Give us 5 stars, because let's be honest, we don't deserve it, but hopefully you like us. And other than that, all that's left to say is up the Palace.